I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address.
We're not just building muscle, we're building men. In the quiet hours, in the unfiltered moments, in the conversations that happen before the world wakes up. This is The Gloom, where brotherhood forms in the dark so we can lead in the light, where vulnerability is strength and leadership is handed from man to man, one story at a time. Our mission is to empower, exhort, and inspire men to achieve their best selves through stories of reinvigorated male community leadership. We bring you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha PACs, ordinary men doing extraordinary things in fitness, fellowship, faith, and leadership, because we believe that every man has a story, and reinvigoration starts when that story is shared. This is The Glue in the Gloom. Shout out to our sponsors, Avior Wealth Management, Liberty Core Real Estate, Major Team Mortgage, Exclusively Eye Care, Omaha Laser Dentistry, and McNamara Law Firm. We appreciate your support. Liberty Core Real Estate is your homegrown real estate broker. If you're looking to buy or sell real estate, whether personal or investment, Armando, aka Brian, and Megan Michaels' company is ready to serve you. With Command Center in Old Town Elkhorn and agents all throughout the metro, they are more than ready to guide and serve you in your next real estate endeavor. Whether your next move needs to happen now or in 5 years, call or text Armando at 402-770-2165 to get your questions answered. In a special offer for F3 Nation PACS members, Liberty Core will donate $250 to your sponsor of choosing for every closed transaction. Stop looking, start finding today with Liberty Core Real Estate. Now, let's get back to The Gloom. And we're back. Got another exciting guest, and this is a guy I feel like I've known for many years. Has been in F3 for a long time, and contributed a lot of time and energy and talent and leadership. And I think he gets to share some responsibilities with me on updating the website, which is sort of a love-hate relationship, I'm sure, as well as doing some stuff with the foundation and all sorts of fun stuff. We got Polaroid on with us today, and it's good to see you, man. You're looking good. And where we like to start off is just kind of talk us through your EH story, kind of who EH'd you, and then how'd you get the nickname Polaroid?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me, fellas. It's exciting to be here, share a little bit with you guys and you know, all our packs here in Omaha, and share a little bit about this awesome thing we're fortunate to all be a part of. So, I appreciate the intro. It's been about 6.5 years now for me in F3, which is pretty stinking awesome. It's it's been quite a blessing, quite a gift. EH story. Let's see. I mean, I would probably say it started in the Cayman Islands in 2018. No joke. I get off a plane, go to dinner, and I'm with a fairly important PACS member in F3 Omaha. And he was new to F3 at the time himself. And this is probably November. And next thing I know, I find myself like, this is not the typical trip we take together. For a work trip, like him and I usually try to sneak away from the group and we end up out late, and here it is, we're in the Cayman Islands for an hour, and now we're on a workout on the beach going for a run for about an hour, and that's when I knew something was up with Tater Tot, who him and I had been corner buddies at Creighton for probably 10 years or so almost by then. And I would say that's where my F3 journey unofficially launched, was to maybe share that evening. And, you know, throughout the duration of that trip, probably learn a little bit more about some of the changes he was bringing into his life, and glimpses of the acceleration and the path that he was moving towards. You know, and then probably 3-4 months after that, it was Reba's VQ. out at Oracle. Yeah, we did, I think it was Sevens over on, there's like a practice football field out there, as you guys know. And yeah, that's kind of where it launched. Posted with Safe Ride that day. We both got our names. And then our third FNG, he is yet to return, but formaldehyde, if you're out there, we miss you. You're welcome, man. So, we'll see if formaldehyde makes a return post. But yeah, that was kind of where it kicked off. You know, it didn't take long after, you know, at work, I could see, you know, Titter Tot and I worked intimately together. And, you know, it didn't take long for him to share that with me. And I'm very fortunate he did.
Yeah. Nice. And what about the name Polaroid?
For you know, people that don't know. That was pretty surface level. Like, that's one that actually just kind of tracks. The group was gentle. Like, I did a lot of sports photography for Creighton at the time. I mean, that's why I was on that trip. I was single at the time. I was a bird nerd. I would take a lot of bird photography and wildlife in my free time. That was a passion project for me. It was peaceful. Go off on a hike and pack a lunch and, you know, spend a day out there. And I really enjoyed it. And that coupled with what I had to do for work, it was definitely a very healthy hobby and interest for me at the time. I don't do it as much anymore. I still much prefer to be behind the camera though than in front of it. And I think that's in all aspects of my life. So yeah,
awesome.
It's good.
Awesome. So Cayman Islands, and then there's a period of time, 3 months in between to when you actually post. What happens during that period of time that eventually gets you there to Reba's VQ?
Yeah, totally. Not insignificant. I met my future wife in that gap. So about a month after Cayman, meet my M. And, you know, that's a pretty big change for me, too. I'd taken a few years off, you know, dating, and I was like, oh man, this is kind of real. And it was kind of rocking me a little bit emotionally. And, you know, I remember some conversations with her where I was like, wow, I'm going to self-sabotage this for sure. Or, you know, on Todd at work, and him and I would have a lot of closed door talks with each other, even well before F3, just on life, you know, maybe a glimpse of a little bit of what we each had in store for our future, which is pretty special. And, you know, I think that's kind of when the layers peeled back and he's like, hey, you need to come out and do this. You know, I was seeing a lot of change in my future that made me uneasy, but, you know, exciting, and wanted to run after rather than run from. The timing was really natural for it. It was, you know, at a time when, you know, exciting things on the personal front. But also, this was a group that was like, wow, there's shared experiences, there's like-minded dudes. F3 was so young and raw, like every different day was exciting here. And it still is, but, you know, the tone was just a little different. And I lived downtown at the time, and it wasn't where you going today. It was everyone's going there today. Like, it was pretty special. So it was cool. It was a group that only gave, and, you know, still to this day does.
Yeah, I remember those days, right? It was like there was one flag, and it was sort of like whoever was leading the next day would put the flag in their car and bring it the next day, you know. But Reba's VQ, didn't he do some like really like a different like crazy chicken burpee or some?
Something. There were wobbly bananas. That's a good one. Yeah, that's a Reba special. I should have gone back because backblasts were a thing then still, so I could have read stuff.
Yeah.
That would have been nice and thorough, I'm certain. And a Reba Q is rare, so I consider it very fortunate to have got in on that day.
Yeah. So. I remember Reba was one of the first coupon workout we did, walking back to the car, and Reba's carrying two coupons, you know, over his head, and I'm sitting there trying to carry one, you know, thinking like, who is this guy? But What did you think of that first workout? Like from a fitness standpoint, was it challenging? Were you gassed? What was that like?
You know, it was for sure challenging. Like, you know, it wasn't that I wasn't, I guess, active. I guess you could say, you know, I was doing my own thing. But, you know, I think F3 comes for everybody. It's not to say everyone doesn't need it, but some guys maybe aren't willing to let it in or accept it or experience it fully. And I think for me, the timing was appropriate. Like, yeah, I would have loved to have, you know, found it earlier in my life, but I do think it found me at the right time, a time when I was looking for something or seeking, not even realizing, but I was open to experiencing something. And that was probably to hold you accountable to something other than yourself. As I was receiving that more in my personal life with, you know, my now am, where, yeah, you are answering to more than, you know, work and yourself or whatever. And, you know, I guess I opened myself to that. And, yeah, it's been pretty special.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Well, I think you kind of came in with a guy who comes in 1000%. So yeah. You had some backing there, and especially like the relationship you guys had both professionally and personally going into this. And, you know, and since then, Tater Tot has left Creighton and is off doing something else. But I'm assuming that this just added an extra layer of dynamic to y'all's personal relationship.
Yeah, no doubt. I still, you know, one thing we never did was talk about work at F3. That was a good line we drew really early on, especially like when we both worked in a setting that was so inviting to conversation. Like everyone wanted to talk about the Jays game the night before, or, you know, complain about the song the DJ played or that promo or, but, you know, F3 also brought some awesome things early on to F3. Like I remember we did a night for Waffle House down there. And we got a huge group down there at a game. That was pretty freaking special. Like, there was a lot of, you know, fortunate that it comes with some access. And Creighton has been, you know, arms wide open on letting us get on the grounds and, you know, tickets and things like that. So I would say our relationships change, but we can relate on a, you know, when we talk about it, it's really not about the box score and the results. It's a little bit about the, you know, what it takes to get to the point to have those, you know, those results and those scores, but the people who it takes to make it happen.
Yeah. What, I would be curious, I guess at the time, right? I maybe only had 4 or 5 sites. So you went on a Saturday, were you all in, or did it take you a while to get to that second post? What was your process like for that?
You know, I feel like I posted that following Tuesday at Cornhusker.
Yeah.
And then like VQ'd, I feel like 3 weeks later or so at Cornhusker. So like we got sites now, you're fighting to find a spot 6-8 months out, it feels like. And
you know, I was just talking to someone about that, how I hadn't been asked in so long. And I was like, you know, the joke is, well, you did so shitty the last time you did it, that's why you're not getting asked back. But really, I think it is, to your point, like we're just so big now with so many guys that the calendars just get filled up. And that's a great problem to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was very quickly. It felt like, I mean, I don't know, it's always exciting at first and new. And like, I swear it was Folsom, he'll contend this, but like, I think it was a heavy metal beatdown. It was probably my second or third post, and he'll contend this and disagree, but it was some of the worst music I've ever heard put together for a beatdown. And I remember I had like 2 dudes come up to me afterwards and were like, hey man, it's awesome you're back out here, but I promise they're not always this way. And I've gone at Folsom with that a couple times since. And, you know, just to me, it kind of felt like you're back part of a team, like kind of working towards a shared goal, like collectively. Yeah, you can better yourself, but you're only as good as the group. And I like that. That's something early on, I think that a lot of guys identify with, is, you know, something that becomes missing after, you know, a lot of us involved in sports your whole life, and then you're left to fend for it, you know, figure it out on your own. And that for sure is this, I think that's part of the initial hook for a lot of guys.
What, I don't remember what, talk to us about sports growing up, or what was life like for you growing up? Was fitness kind of a part of the deal growing up for you, or what was that like?
I mean, I was a baseball player through college. I was a pitcher and came out here in 2012. College season ended senior year, and drove out to Creighton the next day for a job. So it was a pretty immediate flip right into it. And, you know, it's what's made Omaha home for me though, you know, since then. But yeah, no, for sure. The, I've always been involved in that, as of a lot of guys, but it definitely didn't define me. I think it's just an easy thing for guys to gravitate at. I've never been the most like, yeah, you can be internally competitive, but I'm not going to be the guy who's going to go home and, you know, it's not going to weigh on my mind that heavy.
Yeah. Did you play at Creighton?
No. I went to University of Northern Colorado. Okay. Out there. So about an hour north where I grew up, and that was that. And it was a good spot. Played some awesome teams. Parents could come up and watch. Played 2 years with my brother, which was incredible at the time for our relationship. Ended up living together. A lot of the same friend group at the time. He was 2 years younger. Some pretty incredible memories. You know, I was a starting pitcher. He was a reliever, where I would throw seven innings and he would get the save or whatever. So
he's in the league now?
No. He should have anyways. His talent on flight simulators, and he's a pilot with United. So he probably chose the right route for long term. So, but they're on Denver, and it was good. It was, yeah, I don't necessarily miss it, but at the time it was pretty special.
Yeah. You feel like you've made some progress, or I guess when you think about like that first staff or like the fitness piece, do you have goals or things that you're trying to kind of hit, or you're like, I'm just trying to be healthy so that I don't, you know, die young or whatever. What's been kind of your approach to that first staff piece?
It might not be the best answer, but like for me, honestly, like I want to be able to continue to live a healthy, active, if I want to go out and do something with my M and my friends and family and enjoy a meal or spend a night out or go to a show, I want to be able to still be in shape to live those experiences, you know, keep your body healthy enough where, yeah, it's not going to become a struggle to, you know, I don't know. I don't want to turn into my father's health slipped at my age, and that's probably a fear, you know, for me, because you get glimpses of injuries that maybe he had or aches and pains, and you're like, wow, well, maybe I feel a little bit of that. So I think I'm probably a little motivated by that. I don't say I'm setting out fitness goals and I want to go knock down 800 miles this year or things like that. But, you know, if I need to jump up and go run a 5K, a 10K or whatever, yeah, let's do it. And let's be comfortable in doing it. It's not something that's gonna wreck you. So I'm not driven in that standpoint. I'm more driven in, like, you know, the accountability to the guys that are around me. Like, yep. if it wasn't here, yeah, I'd probably still get my workout in. But it's the guys that I know who are gonna be wondering where I'm not at if I'm not there. And that, for me, has probably been enough. And I think I've kind of struck a decent balance of where that fitness standpoint for me is. Like, my problem is if someone asks me to do anything, I'm going to say yes. I struggle to tell a no to somebody if they shoot you a text, if they say, hey, you want to do this? Hey, I saw you did that. You know, accountability buddies. So I don't know.
I love it. I've gone back and forth different seasons of life where it's like all in. And then I think, because I think in the beginning, I wasn't sure if like I was only accepted in this group if I could achieve certain levels of fitness. And then over time, you just realize like nobody cares. Like, you know, like nobody else is really out there trying to like win the thing, whatever it is, right? A number of miles in a year, or even like Iron Pack's challenge that's going on right now. But I think early on, I wasn't sure, you know, like I sort of was like, I don't know, I've never been in a fitness group. And then you realize like, it's not a fitness group really. So I would be curious, like for you, at what point did you sort of realize like, this is way more about that accountability and the fellowship piece? What was that experience like as you dove into that?
I mean, I very much leaned into coffee off the jump, and I think after a week or two of consistently posting, if you're not recognizing that it's more than that, like maybe it's not the right time, or maybe like you're not letting it the experience, because for me, there was no doubt when you're sitting there and guys are sharing, I'm like, I barely even know you. And you're sharing something that's happened in your life right now that I've known my neighbor for 8 years. And I couldn't tell you that he has a sister, let alone what she's going through, or, you know, your daughter at home, or, you know, so this, the second the F3, it exposes vulnerability so quickly. And when a man gives you his heart and is willing to open it and share it, like, come on, who are you to push back against that? And I really just try to listen and observe and soak it in and let every shared experience of another PAX member be an opportunity for me to learn from and provide perspective for, you know, I say F3 gives. Yeah, it continues to give. And those are moments that selfishly are given away to us, and we can take those in and grow from them. And I think for me, that hooked me really quick, where I was like, man, the fitness is great, but that's a perk. That's a benefit. Like, you know, if you are so concerned about the fitness only, you're either going to find the time to get your own gym, maybe in addition, or you're going to be hitting up pre-runs every day and pre-thing. Like, for some guys, that's what you need to make the workout hard. For other guys, the beatdown is the perfect amount. So strike that middle ground, lean into the other stuff. If someone asks you to do it, say yes. You're probably not going to regret it. You know, I think those are probably the big things that I've tried to shape my experience around. And then lend your talents when asked. Like, you know, there's so many ways to continue, like I said, to give back. So,
yeah. Well, I'm trying to get the backdrop here, because I didn't even realize you weren't from Omaha. I just assumed you were born and raised here and you're a Creighton guy and whatever. How long had you been here prior to finding F3, and then how did F3 kind of service you to help build community, or did you feel like you already had community before you found F3?
I mean, I got out here in 2012, so it'd been like 7 years, and, you know, work was probably what I identified as most. That was where my relationships were formed through, you know. Tuesday night, big win. We'd go out, we'd do whatever, and, you know, shared victories, shared losses. There's a lot of emotion. We're young staff, high energy. It was fun at the time, you know. It was an exciting place to work, and it still is. But, you know, what I didn't really have was much of, to your point, community outside of that. I mean, I mentioned, you know, what I consider a very healthy hobby for me was my photography. And that got me through probably a lot of, you know, lonely single times, you know, where I'm not someone who's just going to sit around. You know, work made me so able to be busy. Like, I'm so ingrained that way now with so many events and stuff, which is good. But this allowed me to be busy, but to slow down. And I think it was a time for a lot of self-reflection and just finding yourself, you know, and through that growing, figuring out what I kind of want in my future, you know, open to experiences as they come, you know, finding my M and the changes that brought to my life and the balance that creates. And I might be here and she's all the way over here in terms of our dynamics and personality, but how we push and challenge each other, and, you know, to find that balance and how we feed off each other. Cause it's been exciting. I don't think I would have meshed those areas if not for, you know, some of the growth that was occurring with myself within F3 at the same time as our relationship was really fostering. So
that's really cool. I am curious what that was like. Cause you got married when you were about, what, 3-4 years into F3, or so what?
Right, like 2.5 years in, probably. Yeah, 2 years in. So, like, we were together for probably 2 years before we got married. Two and a half. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was, I don't know. I don't want to overbill it. It wasn't, like, challenging, but, like, it was, she was supportive of it. Like, it wasn't, like, I'm having these battles at home, like, you need to be here or whatever, and we don't have kids yet, so, like, it's she knows the impact this has on me, And I'm very fortunate that she's supportive and she loves the mission of it and what we do and the schools and the communities and the positive influence that this group is. So I'm blessed to have the support in that way. And she encouraged me to lean in, you know, she's a therapist herself and she saw me kind of going through it a little bit and beating myself up. And, you know, it was a kick you out of bed to get to this. Yeah. Which allowed me to run after it, which is exciting.
That's awesome. Tell me more about that. Like, do you feel like it for you? Are you kind of a perfectionist? Do you overthink things? Or when you say like beating yourself up and sort of the benefit F3 provides there, what would you unpack that for us a little bit? You don't have to.
Well, I mean,
but would love to hear.
I don't know if I'd say I'm a perfectionist within F3. I would say, you know, work and personal life, how others perceive you, probably a little tough on that standpoint. Grace is pretty powerful. I remember early on, COT by OMT, that struck me pretty well. And that's another guy I knew of before F3. So there's little moments that I think you look back on, and we probably all have them, where it's like you can identify with certain callbacks. And you look at, you know, for me, whether it's that, whether it's, you know, the first anniversary or whether it's your VQ, that do stick with you. But I think rather than perfectionist, for me, my desire in anything that I do is to be dependable and consistent. Yeah. And if Joe or Polaroid is put on something or runs after something, you know, or wants something, you know what you're going to get. You're not going to have to involve yourself necessarily and come through and clean up the mess. You know, I more so like being behind the scenes, but also know that, like, you know, he can be counted on to get things just done. He's not a grinder, but a self-starter, gets it done. And I think in all aspects of my life, that's a trait that, like, I've always had. And at least I feel I've always had. And I would like to think like that other guys would say that about me as well.
Yeah. 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 I would agree. I would be curious. Cause your journey has been kind of interesting, right? You look at like, so you and Saferide, right, started on the same day, and he quickly after he started, right, launches a site and has been the, you know, the longest reigning comms queue in all of F3 history. But talk us through that, because where do you think that comes from? Is that something your parents kind of instilled in you to not seek that spotlight or need that sort of validation? Or because I do think that's just a different journey or interesting piece of your journey.
I don't necessarily know where it came from. I think it's probably a little bit more self, like, what's the word? You know, you put yourself down. You don't believe highly of yourself enough. And like, I can control some of that, but I would often shy away from situations where I felt I could be exposed or vulnerable.
Yeah.
And run to put the work in until it felt like a controlled situation. And then I would lean into it. So I think that's kind of why, you know, for a while with F3, yeah, I was going to be there. You could count on that. I was going to listen, share, enjoy. But I think that was part of my initial, you know, first few years of how I was going to experience, you know, and I was fortunate that I was a little, F3 allowed me to do that. And,
So I would be curious, like, what do you think got you to the point where you're like, all right, I am ready, or this is controlled enough that I'm comfortable to step in? Cause no doubt you were asked and approached, I'm sure, numerous times to lead a site. But what actually got you there?
Yeah, I mean, my excuse was I wanted to live in the community where the flag was, rather than like, we lived downtown at the time, like at the end of Leavenworth on 4th Street. So at the time, every AO I was hitting was at least 15 minutes. And, you know, I was like, I'm not married. I don't have kids. Every guy that shows up here is like, either lives in District 66 or we're in Rockbrook. And like, I'm like, no, like, whoever's going to serve this site with so much growth we were having needs to be somebody that's planted in this area. And I just didn't feel like I was right for that. So like, yeah, I was approached for a few, you know, and found excuses, whether I regret that or not. I don't know. I think I've landed appropriately, I think, so far in that journey. And there were other individuals that were there, and I was still able to. I think that's why I got excited about some of the back end stuff I could do, and, you know, work on the website or initially help with the foundation. And wow, we're going to do this event. We need signage. I'm your guy. We need photos. I'm your guy. Let's throw our galleries up. Let me do that. Stuff that, yeah, I could make my touch. I could make my impact, but I could float Tenderfoot's the artist. But there was a time where I was let's rock out shirt designs. I think I did a dozen to 15 different AOs. So stuff like that, where I could involve myself in other ways. It just felt more comfortable. I could control it, do it on my own time. Didn't have to necessarily open myself up in front of a group to do it, yet I could still make an impact. That was it for a while. And then, you know, Cornhusker was the site. And even that, I wrestled with, because I think a lot of guys thought I'd been a site queue. And I remember going to
6.5 years, this guy's been a site queue for sure.
It was 4.5 when I took it. So, yeah. I don't know, even that, I remember wrestling with, because yes, I was asked, but I had told a few guys, I want this flag. I want to go after this. It felt selfish in a sense, because I was there's other dudes here that I'm are new. And I shared my feelings with probably 3 to 4 guys and sat on it for a month. And I just said, what are your thoughts here? Should I do this? Is this the right way to go after this? I feel like maybe I'm taking an experience away from, let's just use you. Let's say Plague. Well, my God, Plague should be the site queue here. And they're Polaroid, you need to go after this, man. I can see the energy you have for this and the desire that you want for this AO. And, I appreciate the encouragement I was given by them. I think it applies in life too. Sometimes you just need to be told, no, man, go do it. And I'm appreciative that I have. And I'm grateful that experience of being a site queue came at that point in kind of my F3 timeline, which, it's fun to think about where it goes from here, especially I don't know, we're going to be at 10 years here soon. That's not that distance of a future. And it's damn, when people ask you when you started or when you got involved and walk back on it, in FNG last week, and I was just damn, this is his day one. And I could see that he was excited. You could see there was a little energy there. And I was he's probably sticking. And, you can remember that feeling. You're damn, I found something different here. So that's what I love about it. It's cool.
Yeah. It's super cool. And Pony, you can't give him too hard of a time, because part of why so many guys couldn't become site queues is because guys like you held on to the flag for three and a half years.
I know.
Just kidding. I love it. I think it's so cool, Polaroid. And what I'm kind of hearing, I don't know if you would validate this or not, but it sounds like you've gone through maybe some, I don't know if it's maturation or just growth, but it sounds like you came into the group and you mentioned kind of maybe being wanting to be behind the scenes or not, or maybe more introverted, I guess is a term you could use. But then over time, it sounds like you've really kind of come into this hey, I can lead and I want to lead and I want to give back, but I don't know. How do you feel that? Or I don't know. I'd be curious, if anything stands out to you as maybe things that over time have brought you to where you're at today.
I mean, yeah, you get more comfortable in your own shoes too. And that's not because it's dull. That's not because of repetition, but I think I feel seasoned where it's let's do this. This is, when there's new guys, I get really excited to share and hang back with them. Or, I've come to absolutely love the six. It's one of my favorite things is hanging with a guy at the tail of a beatdown. And sitting with them in their back pocket and circling back and the quick, side conversation after NAMO or catching them at coffee one-on-one really briefly. And just that brief word of encouragement. Those are some of my absolute, I would say most enjoyable, memorable shared experiences is for the guy that, I don't want to say left behind, because we do a really good job at that. I really I love the flavor of the East Side. I'm obviously very loyal here, but like, I think we do an incredible job with that over here. Like, we've got so many different types of personalities, and there's no doubt we're more laid back and a little more reserved, I think you could say, in the style of workout. But I think it's special. And, you know, I would pick up and hang back with the six at any day, any of our workout, because I care about those men. And, you know, the vulnerability and the, it's hard to top a one-off side conversation with somebody twice your age who's willing to share. And it's like, dude, why are you sharing with me? Like, I'm nothing to you except the guy you spend 40 minutes with a few times a week, you know, if we're lucky. Yet here I am sitting next to you at coffee and you're opening up your life to me. And like, you don't get that. Like, so it's the willingness of others to maybe come to me has maybe allowed me to feel more comfortable and feeling not empowered, because I was always able to. This was a me thing. I needed to probably get there.
No, it's really cool. And I think, you know, kudos to you for like leaning in, you know, and not, you made a comment about like chasing or like running after some things, right? Which I think, maybe we don't all do that enough, but I would be curious in some of those conversations, just think about the timing and kind of life events. Was it helpful to be an F3 sort of before you got married and then kind of early on in your marriage, or maybe not? I don't know. Maybe we gave you bad advice, but I don't know. I'd be curious. No,
I just wouldn't listen to the bad advice. It was perfect. you learn from, there were guys to share the what nots to do and the what's to do. Like, no, it was absolutely helpful. Like, you kidding me? Like, and for every one of me, there's countless others out there who I think would echo it. Like, it's just a different chapter in what they're experiencing. Like, I mean, it's why it works. Like, it's part of that sauce. So yeah, like, it absolutely, like, this was a, I mean, it's like men's therapy. Like, who are you kidding? Like, it's an outlet. Like, yeah, the fitness is great, but I don't know if I get the chance to run and talk to Dollface for 15 minutes and just let him rant about his kids driving or his car or whatever. Like, I want to be there for every minute of it, and I don't want to open my mouth. I just want him to know that I'm listening. Like, those are intimate, special moments to me. And like, those happen throughout the city hundreds of times a day. It's pretty freaking special. And, you know, it allowed me to probably be a little more prepared and able to show up more at home and, you know, be open to pushing myself beyond, you know, I didn't want to go out. I wanted to sit home and relax and, you know, be my internal quiet self. No, but you know, she definitely pushed me to be open more to, probably just living. And there's more than just work. I mean, that was all I did, surrounded myself with it.
Yeah. It's interesting because of this. I think about your journey and it just reminds me of mine, and just that you've had some personal growth. Like, you came in not married yet. You're early married. Now you guys are contemplating, are we going to have kids or not? And what I take from that and what I've always realized with you is you've always kind of surrounded yourself around, at least early on, the older packs. And I think you were leaning in. And I brought this up in Cyclone's interview about how he had built a personal relationship with you. And I was just curious about how you went about making those relationships. Did you lean into, well, these guys, like, I am new to marriage and I need some advice from people that have been here and done that? Or was it just more of a natural, you know, Cyclone's my guy and we just happen to be at the same beat downs and we like each other now?
You know, I don't think I sought it out. I think it kind of finds you. Like, when people start to hear and you talk and you just, you know, sit, learn what's going on in each other's life, you naturally, you know, start to share, whether it's relatable or not, but, it came to me. Like, that's the coolest part is, and once again, it gives you, so no, like I didn't seek it out, but there's, you know, countless experiences and things that were shared with me that I think allowed me to want to yeah, gravitate to that, to those folks a little bit. Maybe it's a little bit of the, you know, I talked a little bit of how I've got some fear over my father's health, and you can, it's exciting to see older guys who are still getting after it and running at it and, you know, fighting that clock and kicking ass every morning and pushing you. Like, you're mm-hmm. like, damn, let's go. Like, it's easy to be inspired by. So, you know, there's a handful of guys that are on that list that, you know, if they ask me to be somewhere, it's the decision's out of my hands. It's already been made. So, yeah.
That's really cool. It's interesting, right? Like, I think there's a playbook, or maybe even Q-Source, right, would sort of suggest or have guys believe that it's, there's some sort of script that we can follow. But I do think a lot of this happens so organically, right? And a lot of that, at least from my opinion, is kind of in that third F space, maybe more of a Sky Q kind of orchestration of things that we don't even fully understand. But
are you or someone you know in the market to buy a new home? Well, if so, check out Major Team Mortgage. They specialize in home purchase and refinance home loans. Their mission is to purposely empower people to experience their good life through building wealth with real estate. You know, showing up in the gloom is no different than showing up for a conversation around your future of building wealth with real estate. Join the action economy and get in the game with Sasquatch. Text or call John at 402-212-0149 to schedule a time today.
Individual NMLS number 1393750. Company NMLS number 2478164. Equal housing lender.
Just think about that faith piece. Would be curious, like, talk us through what's been your journey in that third F space, and would be curious too, like, did you grow up with faith being kind of part of family life for you, or what's that been like over the years?
Yeah, no, I mean, I grew up Catholic, probably pretty traditional Catholic school, Catholic, you know, high school. I consider myself probably Catholic-ish right now. You know, I'm probably in the camp of, it needs to be made more accessible, the Catholic Church, to young individuals, or more welcoming. And that's just my experience versus, you know, more barriers to entry. So I think I thrive off of kind of the open community sentiment that F3 provides. And you know, that is, faith is no doubt probably the area that I would love to continue to see growth in, and, you know, willing and open to it. It's just, I would say it's probably the formality of it has slipped, but that's not to say that I haven't offset it a little bit by, I think, the community that this has given. Yeah. You know, in one essence, you could say this is probably my church, but, there's much to be explored, and, that goes back to some of those years I'm talking about. Like, some of those guys, when they share messages one-on-one and those dialogues are there, those conversations, like, I appreciate those moments for the glimpses into what, you know, their foundation and their guiding principles. And, you know, there's certain individuals that I know if I'm running side by side with, that's what a conversation is going to be about. And I'm appreciative of the fact that they're willing to share that and, you know, open to learning.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. You've got, some really good examples, right? You mentioned Dollface, and I think you've also got Hipster and Da Vinci, and I mean, just some, you know, some guys with some experience that, if they're willing to share. I would be curious, when you mentioned a couple times sort of this, like, self-doubt sort of thing. I know a lot of guys, and myself included, kind of struggle with that, or just, like, acceptance, or whatever, you know, however you want to call it. What have you found, anything that's been helpful, either F3 or not, just kind of thinking, anything you would share kind of from your experience that maybe has kind of helped you with some of those moments where you're kind of in the rut of, like, I don't know if I'm good enough or the right guy, or I don't know, curious if you've found any wisdom there.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think for me, it's simple, and it's not the deep answer, but I stopped just saying no. It didn't really matter what it was. Like, I told myself, like, and this was about the time of my relationship going, you know, I told myself, Joe, you need to be open to what's being served to you right now, and allow that to work within you, whether that's, you know, you get this relationship, work, family, what F3 is trying to disrupt in your day, allow it to disrupt it and let's see what comes out of it. So I think it was a slow burn, but, you know, watching others continue to accelerate around you, set examples, I think allows you to realize, maybe afford yourself a little grace. It's pretty powerful. You are worthy. You know, there's a reason you're in this position. If you have to go back and look at how you landed to where you are right now, you've probably made the right choice more than you've made the wrong. Regardless of what your path looks like, you've landed in a pretty successful spot if we're sitting here having a conversation like this. And allow yourself to give yourself a pat on the back at times. Beat down those walls that, you know, you tell yourself you're not going to be able to be enough, or, you know, ego, put it in check. Pause. Don't get defensive in reply. Absorb what's being shared, whether that's at home. So easy to listen to anybody in the gloom, but bring that extension home, and man, that fuse is shorter. Like, check that ego, tune in, be present, you know, eye contact when someone's sharing something with you, you know, when it's a COT and maybe you're not even relating to the guy and you're wondering, there's some incredible ones, and there's some like, come on, your mind drifts, you're elsewhere, but give them that moment of full attention and try to isolate those thoughts and recognize that whatever the message is, they're sharing something on their heart right now, something that they've had to put thought into, something that's been weighing on them, and know that, you know, this doesn't happen without that shared vulnerability. The group doesn't exist. It's no more than a fitness group. So I would say allow yourself to be present for that. Beat down those walls of, you know, reasons why not. Seek out reasons why. Minimize your weaknesses. I think I've tried to, you know, spotlight the things that I am good at and run at that. And that builds and offsets those things in your mind that seem mentally weak, because you're rewarded with, you know, internal or external validation that, yeah, you did a great job there. And wow, like this is cool. Look at what we've built. You know, let those little victories add up. Don't be dismissive of something that, you know, might be a big part of my day and I've put a lot of work into, and to others, it might just be an assumed, but yeah, allow yourself to celebrate that a little bit. Take those compounding wins, and, you know, that only magnifies into all other aspects of your life. So for me, that's probably the roadmap right there. You know, we can never quite control when things are going to happen. It's not scripted for a reason, but, you know, allow those experiences to play on you when they do. And yeah, like I said, saying yes, it's kind of the root of it for me.
God, we could write a book.
Yeah, that's awesome advice and insight there.
Yeah, and I just want to reaffirm you, because what I've heard today is just, and what I'm so encouraged by is your enthusiasm for, you know, other guys, you know, where they're at in their story, what they're willing to open up and share with you. And I'm just really encouraged that we have PAX men members that have that outlook on life and outlook on group members. And I also just want to encourage you and say, I think I'm super happy you made the decision to say yes to leading the site. I think it was, you know, I think we talked earlier, the framework was, you know, you've grown and developed over time and finally made the decision to do it. But I also just want to say, it sounds like you took on leadership roles early. They just weren't the traditional, hey, I'm going to launch a site or take over a site now. I'm going to be behind the scenes. This is the leadership that I can give you today, right? And yes, that's changed, and you were a site queue and you finally said yes. And I just am so happy that was the case. You know, I want to get your affirmations aside here. I want to get your thoughts on the site queue itself, your experience there, and any highs, lows, you know, anything you want to share about your time as a site queue?
Yeah, I mean, I love the absolute that it creates on the calendar. For me, that's a good checkpoint throughout the week. Like, you're going to schedule around it if you can. Yeah, you got some things like you could be out of town. But for me, I enjoy the act of having a definite on the calendar. I love the fact that, and I think it's where we really got to be careful, especially as we continue to grow and have a lot of sites is, you know, like I was fortunate. I'd been around for a long time. I didn't want any repeat cues. I knew enough guys I could do it. Like that was a big thing for me is to bring other folks in so that the site continues to grow and have a different flavor. And that can be really, really challenging. So like out of that, I love the accountability checkups of hit up a guy. What do you need to do? Like be there for other, like that. I'm an events person. Like it's what I do for my job. I love the logistics of planning it and making sure. So those checkpoints, the, you know, the opportunity to have a guy VQ, the opportunity to lend a hand when asked to, I don't know, you just need your lights, whatever you, what can I do for you? You're worried about, you know, someone to review your winky or, you know, you need me to print that out so you can do it. Like, I don't know. I think you kind of want to feel needed, and selfishly leading a site kind of allowed me to be a gatekeeper to that AO. And Cornhusker was a special one for me. I mean, it's I think we're on our 9th site queue there. So, I mean, it's our first weekday site. So like, it's an original, and it's like I said, for me, it was where my VQ was. So it held a special place for me from the jump, and still does. And yeah.
I love it. So you've also held some other leadership roles, right? I think first FQ, and you were at one point the ITQ. I think Tater gave you that title for a while, and then I think getting ready to take over a sector Q. But I also think when Tater left Creighton, maybe you found some leadership opportunities as well. And maybe I'm making that up. I feel like he had to leave because he was kind of blocking you from doing anything else. No, I'm kidding. But
those things, he holds us back.
but talk to me about leadership sort of outside of the gloom.
Inevitably. Yeah. A little bit at work. I mean, there was some other circumstantial changes that happened, you know, leadership within our department that, you know, led to other opportunities. But, you know, I think I felt confident in myself as a result of a lot of my, I think, F3 experiences to kind of ask for what I wanted at work and to narrow in, you know, my skill set and say, hey, this is where we're lacking. I couldn't get this done previously. Let's do this now. And, yeah. You know, it worked out in that sense. So, it for sure has evolved. We worked really well together, but sometimes, you know, we were buddies at work. Sometimes, you know, I don't know if it's mine to tell, but like we had some hard times in his later time at Creighton where I was like, Adrian, I need you to be more present, man. Like F3 is taking over. He was becoming Nantan, and like I was so tired of the freaking spreadsheets of tracking attendance and videos, and like everything's a perfectionist. Like God love him for it, but I was like, dude, I just need you to go talk to like our sales guy because he's not listening to anybody. Please. we got along great, but like it was a healthy dialogue that I don't think without the F3 relationship I would have necessarily felt like was mine to have. And I don't think I'm outing him on any of that. I think we would say that was healthy for both of us.
Polaroid, I would be curious, like within some of those F3 leadership roles, like first FQ, now coming into sector Q, stuff, like where do you see our opportunities going forward? What's on that list for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think specifically within East Side here, you know, I think what's been exciting is, yes, we are pretty, I'd say we're probably arguably the maturest in terms of age of AOs, but there continues to be guys, like it never stops, like, and energy that flows in with new guys. We've got this last year, you know, I look at some guys who stepped into leadership roles recently or will be, and you know, the ideas they bring. And I'm going to advocate for any PAX member that comes with energy and thought and reason behind it, because I think F3 should empower you to find ways to lead and run after things that are important to you. And, you know, specifically, you know, who am I to say no to something like that? I just want to be one to encourage you and to be a resource for you, you know, here, but like, man, outside of East Sector specifically, that snowball's not slowing down. I mean, it's right. Like, it's crazy. And like, for me, I've tried to start bouncing around a little bit more because I feel it's important, you know, and I'm glad I'm doing that. I continue to do that. You know, I'm lucky to still have relationships even when I don't, because of just longevity. But, you know, I guess I just want to keep encouraging and, you know, be constant, be accountable to others. You know, that dependability is a really big thing in my mind. And, you know, I don't like it when it's like, hey, I haven't seen you in 2 days. Where are you at? Like, that bothers me. Like, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's everyone has different ways that they run at things. And I really want to probably specifically listen to the pulse of what we feel is needed right here.
Yeah.
And be one to help enable those, put those things into action. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I would just, you know, kind of echoing what Pony said, just like hearing kind of maybe where you were at when you came into the group, and then like developing, you know, growing and developing, but also still maintaining true to some of these core tenets that I think have always been part of you, important to you. I think it's just really cool. And this is like probably my favorite thing about F3 is like, we're open to all men, and really like all leadership roles are open to all men. Like we're, you know, like you're going to lead differently than Gunner and different than me and different than other guys. Right. And I think, that doesn't mean you aren't qualified to do this job just as good, if not better. And so I think it's just really cool for you to be able to come into that Sector Q role and add your flavor a little bit, you know, and share with the guys what you've learned and let them, you know, it's just like, I don't know. I don't see that as much in sort of my corporate world as I do in F3. So I just really appreciate who you are and your contributions there. We always like to get, you know, sort of before we wrap up here, kind of like, current state, you know, life, where are you going? What are you going through? What do you need sort of prayers or encouragement? If guys see you out there, what should we kind of nudge you about or check in with you on?
Yeah. I mean, if there's a discussion, you know, at home right now, it is that kid piece. And,
yeah.
You know, we're a couple years apart, and, it's more of a win. And for me, I've, you know, if there's something we're out on each other about it, it's probably that. And, yeah. You know, just continued, I don't want to say patience, but just continued, you know, give yourself some grace. And yeah, you are enough, like, you know, reminder of that. And, you know, that's what I try to do for others. And, you know, yeah, I would say that is probably the thing that's biggest in my heart right now. And from a personal standpoint.
Okay. Come on.
I appreciate you sharing that. I know that's not an easy conversation likely to have. So, but you got plenty of guys, I'm sure, willing to give you free free parenting advice as you go down that path. But yeah, I appreciate you, man. This has just been so great. And I think I'm glad I get to know you, and we're honored to be able to share your story. So thanks for taking time today. We'll do a little NAMO to wrap us up here. I'll start, and then Polaroid will have you end. Okay, buddy. Brandon Fleaharty, 39, The Plague.
Plague.
John Lewis, 34, Pony Express.
Pony, nerd.
Joe Wama, 36, Polaroid.
Polaroid. And Polaroid, I think I was thinking about this the other day. I think you were the first person to have a call sign where we like made a noise after your name.
No way.
I think so. I think you were. Because Tater started it, right?
Put it down. That's what I heard. Yeah. Concrete.
Appreciate you, brother. Have a good rest of your day.
Hey, thanks, guys.
In our chest, we're not defined by the weight of the test. Brothers in step, we carry the flame. Different roads, but the heart beats the same. Every man's got a story to tell. From the valley low to the mountaintop, yell. Every man's got a story inside. Standing strong, we won't hide. Every man, yeah, every man's got a story. We've been broken, we've been bruised, but we rise again and we don't get to choose. Through the fire, through the fight, every man's story burns in the night. Scars on our hands, hope in our chest. We're not defined by the weight of the test. Brothers in step, we carry the flame. Different roads, but the heart beats the same. On a story to tell, from the valley low to the mountaintop, yell. Every man's got a story inside. Different roads, but the heart beats the same. Every man's got a story to tell. From the valley low to the mountaintop, yell. Every man's got a story inside. Standing strong, we won't hide. Every man, yeah, every man's got a story. Every man's got a story. Voices rise like thunder, they roll. Truth in the pain, it's shaping the soul. Chains may rattle, but they break in time. Every man's story is yours and mine. From the struggle to the glory, every man's got a story. In the dark or in the light, we keep marching through the night. Every man's got a story inside. Every man's got a story to tell. From the valley low to the mountaintop, yell. Every man to the mountaintop, yell. Every man's got a story inside. Standing strong, we won't hide. Every